Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 283, recorded January 18th, 2017. KD8YVJ, the Hiram Percy Maxim winner. Well, good evening. If it's Wednesday night and it's 8 p.m. Central and you're sitting in front of your computer or your Apple TV or how else can we get Twit? Any of the various ways, you got to be watching Ham Nation because, well, you're a discerning individual, aren't you? Yes, you are. Welcome to the program tonight. Bob Heil is off. Where is he? He's doing NAMM, I think. The big musical instrument show, I do believe. Is it NAMM? Yeah, I believe it is NAMM time. So we've got the rest of the assorted throng in here. We'll first go about an hour and a half, 2 hours to my north to the Jackson, Mississippi area and see what George, W5JDX, is up to. How you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing pretty good so far tonight, Don. Last night, about this time, a transmitter was calling me, which has happened a couple of times this week. So we'll talk a little bit about that later during the show. You know, you said earlier before we started tonight that in broadcasting, January is always a pretty boring time because, you know, everything happens in December. Not so in engineering.
Right. Yeah, it's a boring time in my department because everyone has blown their advertising budgets, and so there are no commercials to make for the most part. although I do have a couple of production sessions scheduled for tomorrow and one for Friday, which but for the last couple of days I have done nothing except, you know, for what I'm supposed to be doing in case my boss is watching. I'm hard at work. But yeah, no, it's just, you know, in my end of the business, yeah, it's pretty slow. But no, stuff always breaks, and breaking equipment knows no time. It knows no time of the day. It knows no holiday. It doesn't care. It just requires your assistance because it ain't going to fix itself. All right, we've got Amanda in the chat room coming up a little bit later on. Let's continue off a little bit more to my west. Our first stop will be Kansas and see what Dale has got up his sleeve tonight. How you doing, sir?
Hey, you're doing pretty good, Don. Good to see you. Like your T-shirt. Looking good. Looking good. So, yeah, we got into town late today, so we got Brian the script and the photos a little late. But hopefully everything's going to work out okay this evening. Fantastic video with Tim Duffy interviewing the winner of the Hiram Percy Maxim Award during 2016. Thought that would be a great follow-up to the video last time we had with Hope Lee. So should be a good evening here on Show Me Your Shack, Don. Take it away.
Yeah, Christopher, the artist formerly known as Short Rib. He's gotten taller now, so we're going to start calling him Spare Rib now. And that goes back to the Huntsville Ham Fest a couple of years ago where he and I joined in on a Blues Brothers thing, which was kind of cool and very embarrassing for most people but me because I'm very, very difficult to get me embarrassed. We're going to have a video from Randy, K7AGE, tonight. And let's continue on towards west and see what's going on with Gordon and his short sheets. Who are you short sheeting this week? That's what I want to know.
Well, first of all, before we short sheet, that's the amateur television network over my either right or left shoulder that is rebroadcasting all of our activities here. Tomorrow night, the Tupelo Amateur Radio Club is going to be holding a very special meeting. Be there or be square. And the Long Island Amateur Radio Simplex Group is going to be covering the inauguration as Whiskey to Tango, special event starting tomorrow. Tune them in. This weekend, of course, Don, is a big VHF-UHF contest. This time, anything goes. You can self-spot. You can put up a billboard saying that you're in this grid square. You can say you're looking for contacts on APRS. 146.52 is going to be okay for VHF-UHF contesters this weekend. And this weekend, of course, is the beginning of Quartz Fest. And you'll see that shortly. Wheaton Community Radio Amateurs also this Sunday getting together. It's going to be fun. January 28th and 29th, Winter Field Day. And Angel down in Puerto Rico says their state convention's going to host Val and Jerry. Wow, looking at the RCBO Giant Dish. And February 4, Palm Springs. February 10, 11, and 12, Orlando, Hamcation. I'll see you there at both Palm Springs and Orlando. And we're so sorry to hear about Charlie at Huntsville. He was the Huntsville Ham Fest, but they are going to carry on in August. So let's take a look and see what's happening out in the desert, the cool desert. Quartz Fest, 20 years. An idea of getting RVers and ham radio ops together. Now we have our own tents and we pound the stakes into the very hard-packed sand. And that'll be going on tomorrow and the next day. They've got a big welcome center. Well, I mean, you know, it's pretty big. D-Star is going to be very active. We don't know the exact frequency, but that's AC. He's making things happen. So Quartz Fest is alive and doing weller than ever before, Don. And that's Heather. She's very happy because she organized all the schools for last week's space station contact. And that was a big success. And there's your welcome team, as well as many of the Quartz Fest organizers ready to check you in wherever you may want to park. And that's Dave. And Dave is the man for running Quartz Fest this year and last year. Dave and Heather really have put a time and effort keeping the bulletin board up to date. So anybody coming on scene just takes a look all next week. And your program, their program, will be there. You will hear us, W7Q. Tune us in. We're going to be on the air every day with a very nice QSL card, our special event station at Quartz Fest. And the Quartz Fest is going to be going on. And there's our main station man. And he's got the big ICOM 9100. That's why you don't see it here in front of me tonight. And we've got all the headphones and ready to roll, no matter what the wind may be. And we are ready for you for Quartz Fest. And that is, if you can be there, be there. But if not, try and come up on the air as a visitor on high frequency. Oh, boy, Tracy and Jody and the dog. New dog is Tesla. Tracy's done all the programming of all the schedules, and let me tell you, there's something going on from sunup till well beyond sundown, thanks to Tracy and Jody. Live stuff. We told all those presenting at Quartz Fest, we got to have stuff. If you ain't got stuff, then you aren't on the program. So everybody's got stuff. That's Bill, K6ACJ, showing off, and we know stuff. And they're going to have the mesh network up. Gary says it's going to work great. So does Tracy. And here they are testing it out, the mesh network, doing the RF side of it. And, you know, Quartz Fest, even though it's in the middle of desert, we do have a few porta potties for the tent campers, but no permanent restrooms, no AC, no DC, no nothing. Good hard pack sand. Doesn't hinder anyone, even in a wheelchair, just zoomed around great at Quartz Fest on the desert, just on the other side of the Arizona border from the Colorado River. That's Don, N9ZGE, talking all about WinLink this year, showing off his automatic antenna tuners. Again, live stuff. This is the antenna walkabout. Every ham fest should have an antenna walkabout, where you get to scrutinize everybody. And this is the way we do it, so you don't miss what the speaker is saying. We put them on the air, the ID every 10 minutes. You bring along your handheld. You can have a headset or stick the handheld right up to your ear, and that way, no PA system necessary, and everybody, including those out of the area, hear what's going on. Wow, a pink keypad. Where's Amanda? Anyway, a lot of digital talks this year. Go to quartzfest.org to learn more about the digital talks. And again, this is the weekend, same weekend as Quartzfest starts, of the VHF-UHF contest. And for those of you without single sideband, you can come up on FM 146.52. That's now allowed. Not, but now. At Quartzfest, you'll see all sorts of great antenna. That's Neil, W6FOG, the main man behind the ARISS contact last week. Neil's got his rotatable dipole up and rolling for the inspection. Those that want to do testing, not only do we need examiners, but we got plenty of examinees ready to fill out their paperwork on the desert floor. Three different exam sessions, even commercial exam as well. Pooches, you got a pooch, bring the pooches. They are allowed. Keep them on a leash. And the pooches are there for the pet parade that we'll have one evening very early on in Quartzfest. Pet parade has them prancing to dum da dum da dum da 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 dum. And there's one of our cute winners last year. And here's a little standoff between the Yaesu pooch on the right and obviously a Kenwood pooch on the left. By the way, Don Arnold, who works with Kenwood as just a rep on the technical side, he doesn't actually work for Kenwood. He just gives his free time to Kenwood. He's going to be there on Friday talking all about the new D-74, W6 GPS. And he'll be wearing the Kenwood tag. Oh, look at that. So if you're into dogs or anything with four legs, cats, gerbils, you name it, bring it to Quartzfest. Quartzfest starts this coming Sunday. And that's Russ and Debbie and the cat. Russ and Debbie, they are instructors, and he is the master instructor of music, and he leads that evening the big Hootenanny. And thanks to some generous donations, we have bigger and better audio for all around, although every time Russ sets up, he's got like soundstage audio for 1,000. Anyway, the Hoot Nanny's a big sing-along, and that's just one of the evening activities at this fun ham fest at Quartzfest. Of course, we got to have the Burning Man. Oh, we can't say Burning Man. Somebody had that like, well, anyway, we can't say Burning. So we call it the Burning Sand Ham. And everybody said, don't burn up radios like we did last year. So you won't see any more HTs there, but we do toast them off in style one of the evenings at Quartzfest. And you got to have movies. And, of course, everybody's getting ready for the movies. We have plenty of projectors, plenty of audio, and bingo. There's our movie projection on the side of one of the big RVs. So even new movies in the middle of nowhere. Remember, there's no AC other than what you bring along here at Quartzfest. That's Neil, W6FOG, talking all about how to safely comply with the new rules regarding drones. And beside drones, you'll see them everywhere, even by the every evening campfires of all the hams and RVers that come to Quartzfest. And cast iron cooking, you got it. It's not just all ham stuff at Quartzfest. And the hobo stew, yeah, everybody brings some. So it's not just radios, but a lot of good chow at Quartzfest. Electric bicycle, they'll tell you how to roll your own. And Bioenopower, I'll say it correctly, is going to have a lot of batteries floating around at Quartzite, Quartzfest, to show off this latest technology of small batteries, lightweight, and lots of amperage. Everything is enclosed. In a few more seconds, you'll know why that's important. So, yeah, we got to top over everything to keep the wind and maybe some rain out. That's Gary, and he's the main man behind Amateur Television Quarterly. And he and Bill Brown and Mike and just a whole host of others pulled this off Quarterly. And Amateur Television, big time, not only analog, but they're going to be doing digital amateur television, talking about sending signals across and around on 10 gigahertz. Gary's the main man. He's got a little ATV-er, and he just flies all over the place. He's getting ready to go, like, right now. And tent campers, you're welcome. In fact, we've got an area just for tent campers, including three porta-potties, only for the tent campers. And the tent campers come in style. Well, it may just like a little tent. Take a look on the inside, and they're working DX. That's a neat thing about Quartz Vestas. They make things happen. And it's not just ham radio. There's Marilyn, W6MCJ, and she's doing gold panning. They're all looking in the pan going, yeah, yeah, is there any gold in there? So we take a closer look. Whoa, yeah. Well, she may have fed a little bit of gold in there, but nonetheless, gold panning with several gold panner instructors from the local town of Quartzsite will be there to show us how to pull gold out of the hills around Quartzsite, Arizona. And of course, finally, the big swap meet. This is bright during the day, but the swap meet starts about 030 in the morning, and that's on the final Saturday of Quartzfest, which is the same day as the big ham radio winter field day, and plenty of stuff to swap and buy at Quartzfest. Oh, yeah, it's going to rain. That's it's going to start probably tonight here, and there's some big ones following up. That has no problem on ham operators. My gosh, if you folks on the East Coast can put up with a little bit of rain at the East Coast, we at Quartzfest can put up with a little bit of rain. You guys put up with snow all the East Coast. So we look forward to seeing all of you at Quartzfest this weekend, either on the air, all next week on the air, or live and in person. And the end of next weekend, of course, is the big get-together for Winter Field Day. We'll try and listen hard to see if Val and Jerry come through on the RCBO giant dish. So let's go over to Dale and see what Dale's brewing at his end. Dale, what have you got?
Okay, got a lot of good stuff tonight, Gordo. Appreciate it. Enjoyed the slides from Quartzfest. Going to have to make that one of these years. I'll tell you what. Tonight, we've got another exceptional young amateur radio operator, a short video peek at a DIY battery box, and a handful of viewers submitted photos. Last week, John Amadeo, the producer of ABC's Last Man Standing, sent us a note reporting that the clip of Hope Lee operating KA6LMS there on the set of Last Man Standing had nearly 32,000 views on Tim Allen's KA0XXT Facebook page. So we were faced with an empty video in the queue. I looked back through the archives of my emails, found a video link from last year that was sent to us by Tim Duffy at DX Engineering. It highlights another outstanding young amateur. In the clip, Tim is interviewing Chris KD8YVJ, the 2016 winner of the ARRL Hiram Percy Maxim Award winner, during his visit there at DX Engineering. Go ahead and roll the video, Brian.
All right, welcome to another edition of DX Engineering Videos. We're here in Talmadge, Ohio today, the headquarters of DX Engineering. And look who came to visit. It's Chris, KD8YVJ. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Tim. How's it going?
It's going good. Hey, Chris, you look a little young.
Yes.
You look like you might have just gotten started in this, but something tells me you know your way around a radio. How old were you when you got your license?
11.
11. Wow. And how hard was the test to pass being 11?
A little hard.
A little hard.
Yeah.
What was the hardest part?
Studying for school and for the test at the same time.
Yeah. Do you remember a particular part of the ham radio technician test that was hard for you?
Yeah, not really.
No? All right. Yeah. Are you good at math?
Okay.
Oh, you're okay. Now, you're 13 now, so what grade are you in?
I'm going into eighth.
Eighth grade, okay. And you've been on the air I mean, you've been working people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you talked to anybody you remember a memorable QSO?
I got Japan once on 10 meters.
Oh.
When I was a technician, and that was awesome.
That had to be pretty cool. Did you expect that?
No.
That was a surprise.
Yeah.
So did the Japanese station, did they talk pretty good English?
No, I think it was during a contest, so it was a pretty quick exchange.
But what do you think about contests?
Well, I live in an HOA, so we don't have any huge antennas or anything like that. But when I can, I get on and try and participate in contests.
So you are the 2016 ARRL Maxim Award winner. How's that feel?
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, pretty awesome. Now, so tell us some of the things that you do to promote amateur radio.
Well, sometimes me and my dad, we go portable at different parks and we'll see if anybody, any kids or anybody that's nearby wants to get on or participate. We do Jamboree on the Air at our local club. So just stuff like that.
So have you activated a national park?
Yes, we activated the Taft House with our club station. And then we're hoping to activate Cuyahoga Falls.
Oh, okay. All right. So at the Taft House, what bands did you work?
We did 20 and 40.
20 and 40. Were you were on the air, right? And you were did you have a pile-up going?
For a little bit.
All right. And what kind of an antenna did you use?
I think it was a dipole.
Okay. And so are you soldering and building dipoles and things like that?
Yes, when we go to Hamfest, every now and then there'll be vendors that are selling kits, and I'll go and I'll buy a kit or two, and I'll go home and solder them.
Mm-hmm. What kind of kits do you like?
Let's see. One I got was, it was like a flashing arrow, and then I put it in my room.
Okay.
And that way, if I want my little brother to leave, I just put the arrow.
You put that on.
Yeah.
Boy, that's handy. I wish I would have had that for my little brother when I was 13.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I'm going to get on the air now and
walk this way.
That's right. There you go. There you go. So, what is the most fun thing that you do with amateur radio?
Probably HF. Just HF when I can.
Yeah. I mean, you've been on 2 meters and
yes,
that sort of thing.
We have a net every Monday, and I'm net control every Monday.
Oh, you're net control.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is your local club?
Yes.
What's the name of the club?
It's the Westchester Amateur Radio Association.
Okay. And how many check-ins do you get?
Anywhere from probably 10 to 20.
Wow. How did you get to be net control? You're only 13.
Because I'm awesome. I don't know. They just put me on the list. They just put me on the list, and
great.
I was like, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, sure. And it's a lot of fun, right?
Yeah.
It's sort of like running guys in a contest, being the net control. Yeah, that's good. And so you like the club activities.
Yes.
And you talked about Wednesday night is a club activity night?
Yes, we have an open house. It's from 7 to whenever everybody leaves, normally 9 to 10 o'clock.
Okay.
So, and then we just get on the radio or we'll have a chat and people will ask questions and other people will answer them. It's just like a little get-together.
Right.
Very fun.
Now, you have some friends that are your age group, right, that are hams?
I do.
Yeah.
I have a few.
And some of them are scattered around the country?
Yes. I have my friend Sam, KG7HBY. He's over in Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
I have, I'm trying to think. I know the other Sam is in Louisiana, KG5AYI, I think. And then there's a few others, Marty KC1CWF. In the Northeast.
Yeah, I know Marty.
Yeah.
And so you met some of these guys at the Dayton Hamvention, right?
Yes, Dayton Hamvention, and I think Huntsville I met a few people.
Okay, are you going to Huntsville next week?
I am.
Wow.
I'm excited.
Boy, you get around. You're like a touring rock star. You get around Huntsville,
yeah.
Dayton, you're running the net. When do you have time to go to school?
Hopefully never.
You got to get out of eighth grade.
Yeah.
You know, got to get to high school.
That's true.
Have you thought about what you might want to do when you go to college, what you might want to study?
Probably scientist or computer engineering, something like that.
Okay, so in a technical field, maybe that has some ties to amateur radio, right?
Yes.
Right. And you've done some mentoring, too, right, of some younger. I saw you, there was a seven-year-old that you were walking him through the steps of becoming a ham.
Yes.
So you're already, you've got the gift of giving back, which is real, real important to help the hobby grow. So what kind of an antenna would you like to have? I know you're in an HOA, but if you...
I would like to have, like, a... I don't know, a 20-element Yagi. I mean, I think we all do, but since I'm in an HOA, it'd probably just be like a vertical or a dipole. I mean, that's what we're using right now. So,
okay.
And that seems to work pretty well.
I think here in a couple hours, you're going to get to use a 24-element array on 20 meters. What do you think of that?
That sounds fun.
Yeah, I think you're going to have a good time with that. Well, Chris, thanks very much for coming in today and talking to us here at DX Engineering. And we want you to come back and give us an update in a couple of years and see how high school works out and college. And we're very, very proud of everything you've accomplished. And we wish only the best and good things for you in the future.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for watching our DX Engineering video today.
Bye.
Well, thanks for the link, Tim. And that interview fits right into our early 2017 look at outstanding young amateurs. Speaking of young operators, we'll have photos of a few at a Kids Day event run by the Wichita Amateur Radio Club a bit later. And as a program note, coming up in February, Hope Lee, who was on our last video segment, KM4IPF, will join her siblings, 9-year-old Grace who's and 12-year-old Faith and 14-year-old Zechariah here on Ham Nation on February 15th. Amanda, K1DDN, has set up a live interview, and these youngsters even plan to show a short clip of the family's operation during Winter Field Day. That one should be a lot of fun. So, moving on now, Kevin, KC7FPF, is the Ham Nation 40-meter net control operator now. He sent us a short video showing his DIY battery box. We'll go ahead and take a quick look here. Kevin wanted to show our viewers his summer project. He had two goals. One, to see if he could make a battery box for less than $100 that he paid for one earlier. Second, he used a Group 24 battery box so that just about any size or type of battery would fit. He also terminated everything with power poles, since those connections have pretty much become a standard today. He did note that you could easily construct a short jumper with a power pole on one end and any other connector on the other end, and everything would work out just fine. His total project cost, by the way, $60. So he saved a little money building that himself. DIY, another favorite area for amateur radio operators today. Well, it's time now to look at a few photos that have been sent in by our viewers. And Brian, if you'll call up the first photo now. It comes to us from Dan down in Tupelo, Dan, WA5CYR. He was reminiscing the other day and sent in a picture of the transmitter kit and his receiver from 1963. You know, that transmitter kit cost $17. And his jack today, he noted that his rig that he's using today is 30 years old, but he really appreciates it. That's in the next slide. His point, it's not what you have, it's how you use it and appreciate what you have that counts. Those wise words from Dan, WA5CYR. Now looking at some potential young amateur operators, here's a young lady talking on the Wichita Amateur Radio 2-meter repeater from the club's Kids Day operation. That's held every year at Exploration Place in Wichita. Another youngster now is being introduced to ham radio by the club secretary. That's Barb, KD0WAU. And we've got another young man working on the radio, courtesy of Club President David KD0BGH. It looks like he's a Shocker fan, too. These young potential amateurs even received a QSL card after they talked on the radio there at Kids Day. So if your club doesn't run a Kids Day, that's a really good activity to help generate new amateur radio operators with a lot of enthusiasm. Bob sent us three photos recently. We think you'll enjoy. Here's a shot of Jim. He's K1IR, and in Bob's caption said he's a great contester. Here's Gracie. She's the granddaughter of Dave, N0SAP. It looks like she's having a ball twisting the knobs on the HF rig there, and maybe she'll be a young ham one of these days soon. Finally, here's a blast from the past. Ted Randall, the operator of shortwave broadcast station WTTW, on which you hear Ham Nation here, was operating, and he's a teenager. So that's Ted Randall as a teenager in the photo. Finally, one more photo for this evening. David Belford, he's KC3HID, sent us this shack photo. He promises more soon as he adds to his shack in Maryland. And that's it for Show Me Your Shack. Don't forget, Winter Field Day comes up the weekend after next. Note that's on the 28th and 29th of January. Well, this segment is here to display viewer-submitted videos and shack photos, so please do submit yours. We need them a lot at this time. I've been running short here with all the holidays and everything, so we can use your photos for another episode of Show Me Your Shack, and we can use your videos about anything, your club's activities, your DIY projects, your operation. Just send a video link and the photos also to hamnationvideos at twit.tv. Hey, we'll get them on the air for you. Time now to venture into George's studio down in Jackson, Mississippi. Looking forward to another broadcast transmitter story tonight. George, I'll tell you what, take it away.
Okay, Dale. Well, good to see you tonight. And thanks to everyone who's submitted videos there for the viewer video segment. That's always fun to see what other people are out doing. Well, tales from the transmitter site. Yeah, tonight we got two, and that's this many more than I actually was hoping to come up with this week. Well, Monday was supposed to have been a holiday where I work. No one was going to have to work. Well, as usual, one of the transmitters didn't get the message, and I got a call Monday morning. One of them was an AM, the one in the swamp. Coincidentally, that we talked about recently. Fortunately, it hadn't rained that much here in the last week or two, because remember I was talking about how they had replaced a railroad track about a mile from that site and not fixed a crossing yet? Well, it still hadn't been fixed. There was a back way I could get into the site and drive to it. Going through a field, no road there, just out in the middle of a field. And my Explorer is four-wheel drive, so I did manage to get through the mud in that, although it's raining right now and supposed to be for the next two or three days, so there better not be any problems out there because I won't be able to drive in. So Monday morning got a call, had to go out there, managed to sneak in the back way, make it to the site. Of course, the problem's not in the building. It's out at one of those three towers out there in the swamp. And there's water still standing out there. So back to the rubber boots. I head out to the towers. And I wish I had a better photo. I just printed this out a moment ago. This is an 80-amp AMRF contactor. It's a mostly mechanical device. You see, there's two solenoids here. Those pull linkage that goes over and controls this T-arm that swings back and forth between two sets of contacts. Here's the little fingerstock style contacts. There's a bar on either side that goes between those two contacts, makes connection. You can tell right now the other bar up here is connected. This one right here is open. Well, what will happen is that bar will arc to those fingers there, and it'll get stuck in that position, and it can't move. Well, you see, this is all a mechanical device here, so nothing to go wrong, right? I mean, this is exactly the kind of thing you'd want out in the middle of a swamp. So, yeah, I just had, you know, one of them arc get stuck a few weeks ago. Well, a different one arc this week. You know, when those things arc, there's one of two possible things that could cause it. And that is that those contacts aren't tight enough when that bar goes into them. And, you know, if you haven't got a good contact there, you'll get some arc, you know, especially when you're running, say, 50 kW through it. The other thing that can happen is, and you can't see it really in the photo, there's a lot of little micro switches that connect to some of this linkage. That's how it knows which position that contactor is in. Well, if any of those micro switches get out of position and don't open or close exactly right, the transmitter is really not going to know if that contact is made or not. And it's going to try to allow that switch to move from one position to the other without turning off the transmitter. And that can get ugly real quick. Well, unfortunately, in this case, I don't know yet what caused this to happen. All I know is that it did happen. And I kind of got it straightened out, but I've got to go back and do some further field work. As luck would have it, nothing is documented on how all of this stuff connects together. And there's only about 15 relays or so that control it. So I've got to get in there, draw up my own schematic, figure out how it works, figure out where the bad part is. So that was Monday. Okay, well, about this time last night, I get a call from one of the other stations. This is an FM station that's got a 35-kilowatt transmitter. Kind of a little bit on the large size. You know, those are 100,000-watt FM station. It's really, the transmitter's generally somewhere between 20 and 30 kilowatts. You make up all the gain with the antenna to be 100,000 watts effective radiated power. And so this one's using a 35-kilowatt transmitter. Only need to make about 30 kilowatts with it, though, so got a little in reserve there. Well, I got a call from it. It was popping on and off the air, so I headed out there. I've got a little short video clip here of one thing. I discovered this was wrong. If you look down in there, that looks like a little light bulb. That's actually a resistor, and that's a sustained arc. You know, when 11 kilovolts jumps across the wrong thing and starts an arc, it can keep it up for a pretty good length of time. This actually, there was a little flame going in there, too. You can't see it in the photo. And there was a little bit of smoke. But the transmitter was still running with that. It didn't mind that. So you can have 11,000 volts sustaining a constant arc on a resistor or a component like that. That transmitter will keep going. Unfortunately, it only takes a little box fan to shut the whole thing down. The exciter for the transmitter, you know, is just like a little 50-watt transmitter, and the whole big rest of the box is nothing but an amplifier. Well, this little blower here was in one of the, or was in the exciter for this transmitter. It decided to lock up, and when it did, it decided, well, the blower's not running. We can't run, so it shuts down. And then the blower tries to start turning, and it gets turning a little bit. The transmitter will come back on. But that only lasts a few seconds, so the blower stops again, and it shuts back off. So, you know, you can have fire going in there, and one of those things will keep going. But if you starve it a little bit for air, you can hang it up. So there's your tells for the transmitter site tonight. Randy has sent us a little video here that, well, he's preparing a new project here. It's the BitX 40 that a lot of people are really getting into now. Randy's got an unboxing for us.
This is my BITX 40 unboxing video. I'm Randy, K7AGE. I ordered my kit on December 23rd and it arrived on January 9th, 17 days later, from India. The BITX 40 is just one in the series of BITX transceivers that Ashar Farhan, VU2 ESE, has designed. Now, the BITX 40 is a 40 meter single sideband QRP transceiver. And I have the newer version, which includes the direct digital synthesis chip, the DDS chip, that's controlled by an Arduino processor, and it also includes an LCD display. Now, the board is assembled and tested, but I get to do all the other assembly work, and it, including shipping, is $59. And yes, you can work the world with the BITX 40. Here's Tom Midland, W5KUB, working South Africa. And he's only using a dipole.
Whiskey 5, Kilo Uniform Bravo. Kilo Uniform Bravo.
Okay, Whiskey 5, Kilo United Bravo. I guess you know, you're 4x3, 45 on your low power level.
All right, thank you very much for the contact. Thank you. ZS6CCY, W5KUB, and you're 5'9 and about 10 over in Tennessee. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for the 5'9. Good evening. Zulu 06, Charlie Yankee.
So here's the package as it arrived from India. It's looks like just a cardboard box, completely taped. On the back is the customs declaration, educational electronic kit, value 3,600, whatever the currency is in India. So I got my knife, and let's not sure how this comes apart, but let's feels like it may come apart along the edge here. So the way they ship this is in some type of plastic box. And I already have one nut falling out. It looks like some hardware is loose. So I have my receipt and list of the box contents. So here is the LCD display, along with the Arduino, or the Arduino board, as I guess they call it. And this looks like it unplugs. So that's going to be the two-line LCD display. And here's the little processor. So it's got a little Arduino Nano. And looks like there's the DDS chip and a crystal. And so there's that. So here's a bag. We'll come back to that. Let's look at the board here. Wrapped in bubble wrap. Let's get a close-up. So here's a close-up view of the board. And there's lots of inductors. And I'm just going to kind of wiggle these to check them. And they appear to be okay. Here's the final transistor with a heat sink. There's several headers that will connect the external components to. Here's four crystals up here in the IF. And in these areas are what Farhan describes as his bidirectional amplifiers. So in receive, kind of the signal goes one way through the crystal filter, and transmit, it goes through another set of amplifiers back through the filter in the other direction. So let's look at the parts here. These are the parts that were kind of loose, like a few standoffs, a couple screws, looks like a screw and a couple nuts there, and a little capacitor. And I'm just going to set that to the side. I got this whole plastic bag of stuff, so open that up and dump it out here. And let's see what we got. Things that are taking up the most space here are these pre-made header cables that'll go off to, like, the volume control and connect up the LCD and power and RF. So I have to attach to the other end. I believe this is the tuning control. And this is another potentiometer with a switch. So that would be the power and volume, a DC power. plug-in chassis jack. Looks like a couple other little jacks. So this is the antenna connector. This is a little Electra microphone. A little tiny push-button switch. And looks like some more screws and standoffs. Okay, so you got your boards, a box full of parts. You know, you have to put this together somehow. And this is a real hands-on tinkering, hacking, modifying, playing, maybe you have to troubleshoot it and make it work project. So just be aware that this will take a little bit of effort to get going. So there's a lot to go on here, and you may want to make a bunch of changes. And, you know, watching the Yahoo group and the Facebook group, you may see some modifications and some things that other people have come up with. So what probably the best thing to do is don't worry about how you're going to package this, but you probably want to nail this stuff down so you don't have a bunch of loose boards and wires on your workbench and things moving around on you and creating problems. So I was at the dollar store and looked around of what I could find that would allow me to kind of mount all this stuff together while I get it running. So one thing I found was this drawer organizer tray. And one of the things I thought about was turning it upside down, and I could mount the board on the top. Yeah, maybe like this. The RF in the back, maybe. And there's looks like enough room on the front to mount the display, you know, and mount the controls inside, you know, and drill some holes and run some wires around. And this would be this might make a real nice package to experiment with the BITX40. Another idea I had, you know, this was $1 over in the dollar store. And I've read about guys buying these little cutting boards from the dollar store. So I thought I could mount the BITX40 on here. So it could mount like that and, with some standoffs and the screws. And, if you had some little brackets or something, you could mount the controls. I think I'm leaning more towards this idea. I think that might be a real kind of nifty way to put this together while I get it running. Stay tuned. Lots to do, lots of research, a lot of stuff to read, and start putting this together. Tune in again. K7AGE, Randy, thanks for watching.
Okay, Randy, that looks like fun. And I know a lot of people are kind of following along. And some of our social media groups I've been seeing where for some time now, there's been a group getting together to build these things. So I had heard of the BITX several years ago, but I think it must be having a resurgence right now because it seems to be real popular. Well, you know, last week I asked a question that this one came from the technician exam pool. Which of the following components should be added? No, that's not. That's this week's question. We'll cover that in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Here's last week's question. Which of the following is the most used to convert a radio signal from one frequency to another? A, a phase splitter, B, a mixer, C, an inverter, or D, an amplifier? Well, we had a lot of answers on that, and most of them were correct. Some of them weren't. You know, you wouldn't think a question like that would be on the technician exam, but it is. And Steve Shea, KC9JPX, said the answer... No. I'm embarrassing myself because he answered a question from the week before, and his name came up, and he had the same right answer. Anyway, the answer was B. That you use a mixer to convert a radio signal from one frequency to another. So That means that question is still open, and we've still got the MFJ 113 because I didn't draw a lucky winner this week. So if you'd like to win this, a giant LED clock displays 12 or 24-hour format. It's an alarm clock. Great for your ham shack. Well, we're going to run it for one more week, so I got to have another question for that. And it's going to be, well, we'll take one from the general exam this time. Which of the following components should be added to an existing resistor to increase its resistance? Remember, that was a resistor we were looking at a while ago that was on fire. If you needed to increase the resistance of it, would you use A, a resistor in parallel, B, a resistor in series, C, a capacitor in series, or D, a capacitor in parallel? Well, if you think you know the answer, email it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win this MFJ 113 clock. I promise I'm going to give it to somebody next week. And now let's get a message from ICOM, and then we'll be right back.
Are you in need of a good New Year's resolution? How about improving your listening skills? ICOM has an array of radios to help you stick to your resolution all year long. Base stations, mobile transceivers, handhelds, and more, ICOM has all the equipment to make 2017 the best year yet. Coming soon, the ICR8600 will bring your listening skills to a new level. Start the new year right with this new communications receiver. Ultra-wide frequency coverage, real-time spectrum scope, and a large 4.3-inch color touchscreen display. Now available, the ID51A+2 provides new models for extended D-Star coverage. Available in five colors, the ID51A+2 allows you to listen wherever you go. Terminal and access mode, send and receive text messages and pictures, DVFast data mode, and easy FM repeater settings. Ideal for the contester on the go, try the IC7300. It's a high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design. The real fun starts here. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize of new radio. And for January, that new radio is going to be the ICOM ID51A+, dual band, dual watch, VHF, UHF handheld transceiver, does both analog and D-Star, has a built-in GPS receiver, DV and FM repeater list functions, independent AM/FM receiver, free Android app, and a lot more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Somebody's going to win this ID51A+2, and it might as well be you. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And now let's find out what's going on in the wide, wide world of news with Don.
Yeah, let's do. And, you know, we lost a good friend of Amateur Radio Newsline, and that was Charlie Emerson, who was the chairman of the Huntsville Ham Fest. Of course, Huntsville Ham Fest has been the home of the Young Ham of the Year Award for a couple of decades now. And I was on the shortwave last night, WTWW. And hello to our listeners tonight on 5085 and 12.105 via WTWW. We're being simulcasted on there as usual. And was on with Ted last night talking about our friend Charlie Emerson, and just had a great time remembering a really, really good guy. And there'll be a full report actually a special segment on this week's Amateur Radio Newsline coming up for release on Friday. So be sure to check that out. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and check out the news of this week on Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2046, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, January 18th, 2017. A critical repeater site that served its suburban New York community for three decades and put to use in a number of disasters is now being asked to leave its location.
A 30-year-old repeater site that is key to public safety in Long Island, New York, is facing possible eviction from new building owners. I spoke with club president Press Waterman, W2PW, about their plight.
Basically, the repeater's been on top of a 10-story building for almost 30 years. Covers really, really well in central Long Island. And it's been used for a number of public service situations, such as TWA 800 going down in the 90th, September 11th, several months ago, Delaware North acquired the building with the intentions of opening up a casino. And I was told about a month and a half ago that the equipment had to go because the state gaming board would not allow it to be there unless it was used for the building operations or the government.
The club is running short on time to get the corporation to reverse their decision and let the repeaters stay right where they are. Waterman said he'll be contacting as many in the corporate headquarters as he can, as well as enlisting the help of area first responders and emergency personnel to help drive home the importance of the repeaters. There is no equivalent site for relocation. If you'd like to sign the petition, please go to www.change.org and search for Keep the Amateur Radio Repeaters Operational. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
There's lots more to this story, and you can hear it in the full Newsline report. The Radio Club of America, the world's oldest organization of wireless communications professionals, has devoted an expanded section of its website to women in wireless. It's not just a history lesson, it's a collection of resources.
What does screen star Hedy Lamarr have in common with Kentucky's Lieutenant Governor Jeanine Hampton, K5EIB? The same thing Professor Ada Poon of Stanford University shares with former ARRL President Kay Craigie and 3KN. They are all featured in the newest section of the Radio Club of America website in an area called Wireless Women. The section was established to inspire and inform women who are considering a profession in the wireless sector. It also lists resources to help women researching career opportunities and presents the RCA Vivian Carr Award to honor women for outstanding achievements in the industry. The award was named for the former radio club president. Perhaps best of all, for the youngest of the YLs, that section of the website lists universities with an engineering focus that also have a significant number of female students. For women wishing to network, the website provides information and links for the best contacts at such professional organizations as the Society of Women Engineers, IEEE's Women in Engineering, and Women of Wireless Communications. For any amateurs wanting to turn professional, it's the place to go. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
And finally, as the United States gets ready for the transition to a new president on Friday, January 20th, one special event station has solemnly sworn to inaugurate as much of the radio spectrum as it can.
Two teams of amateurs from the Washington, D.C. area will operate special event station W3T from 12:01 a.m. Eastern on Thursday, January 19th, through midnight Eastern on Saturday, January 21st, to recognize the inauguration of the 45th United States President. Carrying on the tradition of a commemorative special event station during the inauguration, Michael Wanneke, W4AAW, will have his remote multi-multi contest station active from Round Hill, Virginia, while a Maryland amateur, Jim Nitzberg, WX3B, will host from his multi-multi station as well. W4AAW explains the recognition behind the special event station.
The main thing that I want to put across is that it marks the peaceful transition of administrations, which has always happened in this country since the beginning, and I think that's unique to the United States. I think we're looking at the bigger picture, not at anything political.
Those desiring QSL cards can send them direct to W4AAW or by the W3 Bureau. If sending direct, please include an SASE, and DX stations are asked to add $2 in U.S. currency for postage. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online, on a repeater near you, or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Paul Brown, WD9GCO, Heather Emby, KB3TZD, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3, We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
We are now entering some fast wind from yet another coronal hole that has rotated into the Earth's strike zone. And believe it or not, the first sunspot from solar cycle 25 has been seen. Those stories and more in the news this week. The sun's activity has picked up a bit this week. We have this coronal hole that is now rotating into the Earth's strike zone. It is giving us some fast wind right about now. Things will probably come up to about active conditions, but it's not a huge coronal hole, so it probably won't last all that long. And then meanwhile, we finally have confirmation that we have a new high-latitude sunspot. This grouping here has the opposite polarity of what we've been seeing for this recent solar cycle. So this is the right place and the right polarity to be the first sunspot of solar cycle 25. Switching to your solar storm and aurora predictions over the coming week, we are entering that fast wind from that corona hole that's rotating through the Earth's strike zone. At high latitudes, NOAA is expecting minor storm conditions with a decent possibility of major storm conditions. And then at mid-latitudes, we're only expecting active conditions with about a 25% chance of a minor storm. These might be a little bit overblown. Now that the fast wind is here, we're kind of looking at it, and maybe it's not going to give us quite that level. See, we'll watch this this wind as it goes by, but it's probably not going to last all that long, which is a good thing for you ham radio operators, so your disturbances probably won't be too bad, and things should quiet down definitely by the weekend. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, we are still pretty much in the green. We have absolutely no risk for an M-class flare, so you amateur radio operators should be a bit happy. As far as solar flux is concerned, we've gotten a little bit of a boost because we do have two active regions on the Earth-facing disk right now, and that is keeping the solar flux level a little bit higher. So you amateur radio operators should breathe a sigh of relief. It's not as bad as it has been over the past, especially early in January. So propagation should be pretty good, and things will continue like that for at least another week. So the space weather this week has picked up a little bit. We do have that corona hole that is rotating through the Earth strike zone right now and is giving us some fast wind. It's causing a bit of a disturbance, but maybe not quite at the level of a full solar storm. So you amateur radio operators should breathe a sigh of relief. Propagation shouldn't be too disturbed and should also quiet down by the weekend. For your aurora photographers, if you're at high latitudes, you might get a show. Mid-latitudes, maybe not so much. This isn't a really big storm, so you might want to wait it out if you're at mid-latitudes. But then things are going to go back to sleep. The nice thing, though, is that we have finally seen, and I'm hearing confirmation in the scientific circles, that yes, we have indeed seen the first sunspot of solar cycle 25. And that means that the sun is not going to go back to sleep, and we're not going to have a mini ice age, and we're not going to have a spotless disk for the next 70 years, is a lot of chatter I've been hearing. People have been talking about this for years. So good thing the sun is still alive and kicking. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
They have Dr. T-Beck with us tonight, and her change in audio is what happens when the battery goes dead in the wireless mic. You do what you can. The show must go on. Have an update. We got today to our lead story about the repeater on the soon-to-be casino site. That was our lead story in the news tonight. As of today, a dialogue has started between W28CB John Melfi, emergency coordinator for the town of Babylon and Delaware North, on creating a memorandum of understanding to keep the WR2UHF and the WD2NY threatened repeaters where they are. Nothing is guaranteed, but it is a big step in the right direction. The FCC also has offered their assistance. So far, two TV news broadcasts have covered it. News 12 Long Island reporter Jackie Lucas and Fox 5 New York's Jody Goldberg. The ARRL is covering it as well. And if you'd like to sign the online petition, you can go to www.gsbarc.org and click on that right there. That's Golf Sierra Bravo Alpha Romeo Charlie.org, gsbarc.org. So an update to that. Hamfest coming up down here this weekend on Saturday is the SeaLark Hamfest in Hammond, Louisiana. It's a good one. Go to SeaLark.org, SeaLark.org to find out more about that. I'm going to go to that and should be a lot of fun. So if you're there, I will say hello. But coming up on Friday, besides the inauguration, it's my son's birthday. And I wanted to share some pictures with you real quick before we get into a man in the chat room. There he is on the day he was born. Wow, 17 years ago this Friday.
What a little guy. Just scroll through these, Brian, real quick. That was at a ham radio club meeting, actually. The first time that we brought him to the ham radio club meeting. I look a little different back then. Oh, look at that. Oh, man. Watching this kid grow up. I just, his first motorcycle ride on my old Goldwing. Another ham here in New Orleans now owns that. And that's what he looks like now in his Navy Junior ROTC uniform. So, happy birthday, Tyler, 17 on Friday. Could not be more proud of that kid. So happy birthday. Amanda, that's a hard act to follow, but you're the girl for the job.
Oh, thank you. Happy birthday, Tyler, by the way. He's so cute. Not to mention, I saw you rocking the pager in one of those pictures. Wow.
That was a long time ago. It was before we got the cell phone. So I had the pager. That was important.
And when you did have a cell phone, it was like this big and this wide.
Yeah, exactly. It was a bag. My first cell phone was a Motorola bag phone. It was a Motorola bag phone. It was my first cell phone. So yeah, exactly.
That's so funny. All right, you guys, I got some stuff to cover. First of all, one of our first announcements, Eric, W4EJO, he wanted us to know that his father, who's retired and a Vietnam vet, he served with the Marine Corps, he just got his technician license this last weekend. He did not get his call sign yet, but we'd like to say congratulations and, of course, thank you for your service. And thanks, everyone, for their service. Next thing. Gordo, we have a question for you. VE6SKI Dave is flying into Las Vegas on this Friday. Says, would it still be worthwhile heading to Quartzsite for Saturday morning?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Quartzsite gets underway actually on Sunday morning. But if he's flying into Las Vegas, it's about an hour south of Las Vegas on Highway 95. And he could certainly help us dig post holes and put up tents and schlep water. So you are invited. In fact, all of you are invited to come set up this Saturday. We actually have sun on Saturday, and then we hunker down for Sunday's beginning with maybe just a little bit of rain.
Okay, well, thank you so much. So there you hear it, Dave. Just get out there and meet everybody. All right, next thing I wanted to talk about, Chris, KD8YVJ, who was on the awesome video tonight. Thanks, Tim Duffy, by interviewing him. He wanted us to know that the North American QSO party is this weekend. That's a pretty popular one. So I'm sure if you were planning to do it, you've already got your plans in place and are ready to rock and roll. Hopefully the band conditions will be good for you. Next thing is Phil, M0PXS, would like us to give a shout out to the UK. So everyone, hello, UK. Thank you for watching. And other than that, I just have a couple more announcements. I don't see any other questions here. Let's go over the announcements. WTW on Saturday evenings. Listen for Bob Heil playing the organ at 8 p.m. Central Time. Also, don't forget to find us here, Ham Nation, on Facebook. And TWIT is doing a survey. I don't know how long the survey is out for, probably about a week or so, but Brian, if you wanted to show a link to the TWIT survey, we can get all of our viewers to go there and answer some questions and give them some good feedback. There you go. Take the TWIT audience survey.
Yep. TWIT.tv/survey. There's your website. Right. TWIT.tv/survey.
Vote for Ham Nation.
Yeah.
You know, I took the survey. I don't think that was an option. There was no voting for any shows. So,
write us they in. Want some
Such perfect timing. Inauguration exactly. Coming up and everything. Wow. Politics are so ripe right now. But, right. You know. Let me go over the nuts we're going to have tonight. First, I know that most of these are already in action, so you guys get out all your different HTs and get your HF rig warmed up there because we've got the DMR Tackle 311 going on right now. We also have D-Star 14 Charlie rocking and rolling and Echolink on Do Drop In. Not only that, last I heard, HF net on 40 meters is on 7192, where KC7 FBF is working very hard to take your check-ins and hear you all. So with that, maybe we can get radio in here to say hi, but I don't have anything other than that. So, Don, I'll send it back to you.
All right. This has been a good show tonight. We've gone a little bit long, but that's all right. Not too bad tonight. Something else that WTWW, the shortwave, is going to be doing, it's something that Ted and I talked about actually back around the Huntsville Hamfest last year, and we just decided last night when I was on there that we're going to start doing this. Once a month, I'm going to be on there talking about Newsline and Young Ham of the Year and anything else that just happens to come to mind, and it's going to be on the second Tuesday of the month. So every second Tuesday of the month at 8 o'clock Central Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time, you can catch me and Ted Randall, WB8PUM, on the Big Blowtorch, We Talk Worldwide, WTWW at 5085. And maybe we even crank up that 12-meg blowtorch and show them what it's all about over there on the other side of the world, too. So thanks, Ted. That's going to be a lot of fun. We've talked about that for a long time. So very cool. And in fact, it was neat. A friend of mine in Florida happened to be tuning up, and I wish I had the video of it. It's on my Facebook page, but tuned up some video. It was tuning up a 1942 vintage World War II aircraft receiver and happened to be tuning across, had a 4-foot antenna in the house, and caught WTWW from Nashville, and he's over by Jacksonville, Florida. So he sent about a minute of video. So if you're Facebook friends with me, go check that out, or look me up on YouTube, Don Wilbanks on YouTube. It's on my YouTube channel as well. So go check that out, because pretty cool to have that come through in the text. Anyway, that's really about all I have. Let's go around the horn one more time. Gordon, anything to add?
We look forward to working all of you from W7Q Quartz Fest, and we'll be on the air beginning Sunday. So 73 from the desert for a full week. We'll be there. Back to you, Don. And
all right.
Happy, happy birthday to Tyler.
Thank you. Someone was asking in the chat room what your hat said. I put it in there, but it's the Off-Road Ham website, offroadham.com. I've got one of those hats around here, too, somewhere. It's around here somewhere. Oh, love that hat. That. Oh, there's radio.
Radio.
Oh, my God, those ears. Seriously, Radar should have been. Arecibo, that would have been a perfect name for him.
Arecibo, yes. A little hard for him to answer to, but it would have worked.
Yeah, there you go.
We had to give our hello radio. Bye-bye.
Hello, radio. It's exactly. Come in. No, that's a whole different thing. George, what have you to add to the festivities tonight?
Well, I noticed someone in the chat room earlier had asked, what was this behind me? That's a Rigol DSA 815 spectrum analyzer. We've looked at that before. And the reason I've got it on the bench here is I've been doing a little experimenting. We just released episode 100 of Amateur Logic over at AmateurLogic.tv, and I did some experimenting with these little modules right here. This is a 433 megahertz transmitter for an Arduino. I got the receiver, too, and I hooked these things up and built a little CW beacon and explored a little bit. And I was doing some more exploring with this spectrum analyzer back here the last couple of days. I just didn't have the range I thought I should have, Don. You know, I was expecting maybe 30, 40 feet, something like that.
Uh-huh.
I had trouble getting over 2 or 3 feet. So I'm still experimenting with that. Anyway, 7-3, everyone. Have a good week. Hopefully, I will not have another Tales from the Transmitter site next week.
So instead of qualifying for Worked All States on that, you qualified for the Worked This Tabletop Award. Is that right?
Exactly. I worked the tea layer.
Yeah, the tabletop layer. That was hilarious. About a foot and a half, 2 foot range, and then it was pretty much marginal from there. All right, everybody, thank you so much for being a part of the Ham Nation family. We do appreciate it. We appreciate all of our sponsors as well, and those of you who sit through in the chat room, and of course, take parts in the nets. It's audience participation, and we could not and would not do it without you. So thank you all so much. Good night. Go out and enjoy the contest. Grab a Ham Fest if it's in your area. Of course, the Hammond Ham Fest, Hammond, Louisiana. Look up SeaLark, S-E-L-A-R-C, SeaLark.org to find out more about that one, and I hope to see some of you guys there. So For the standard cast and crew, we'll say good night, 7-3, and we appreciate you guys watching Ham Nation tonight. Good night.
Good night. Randy says go build something on chat. So there you go, you guys. Zach. Go build something.